You're not the boss of me. Have you ever said that? Maybe to a friend? Which would make sense. You're not the boss of me. Would you say that to your boss? I suppose you'd be fired. Or you don't care. You want to be fired. Would you say that to your parents? I've heard of a child or two making such a claim, although they were quite a bit older when they said it. Would you say it to Jesus? Would you say that if Jesus appeared to you and gave you a command or a lifelong responsibility or two or more to carry out in His name? As we consider this, we focus attention on the Word of God, Romans 14, which does make it clear that Jesus is the boss of us, and rightly so because of His resurrection. Verses 7 through 9 say, "None of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living." I take you back to the disciple Thomas, who had trouble accepting the resurrection of Christ at first, but eventually he would say, "My Lord and my God." That is the impact that the resurrection of Christ is supposed to have. It gets us to see and accept a constant authority. He's the general, we could say, which makes us foot soldiers. He's the teacher, we're his students. He's the expert who gets to tell us what is true, what is false, what is right, what is wrong, and we accept that. We accept that authority unconditionally because the Lord has convinced us He is the risen Savior, also the infinite God who knows all things. So, what are the implications when Jesus is the boss? When He makes a statement of fact, it is guaranteed to be right 100% of the time. No need to check for accuracy. We can assume it. When He makes a promise, it has to come true. He won't let you down. And when He gives you a command, He knows what He's doing. He can't possibly lead you astray. Therefore, Jesus should be in charge, especially when He tells you what to believe. Trust Him when He says, "Your sins are forgiven." He ought to know. He paid the price to make it happen. Trust Him with that promise He has given to all of us. You will live one day in a risen, glorified body that He provides out of the grave. The fact that He made this happen for Himself, it's a pretty good sign that He will make it happen for us. Your Lord is certainly more than talk. He backs up every claim, every promise with action, with authority. The fact that Jesus lives means that He is boss not only of the truth we believe and the future that we face, but also the kind of life we're going to live. Isn't Jesus qualified to lead you in every facet of your existence on earth? Starting at home, let Him be your leader in the way you relate to your parents and others in authority over you, such as here at Emmanuel. Let Him lead you in that marriage He may give you one day, and in the way you would raise children provided from the Lord together with your spouse. Let Him lead you right now in the way you treat each other as fellow Christians, and also in this constant task of reaching out to people with the gospel. Let Him, the heavenly boss, shape your attitude toward money and material things so that we see them only as tools to be used in service of Him. Now, you can expect a struggle with this relationship where we have to fight the urge to rebel and try to get control. Don't fight your Lord for control of this or that thing that seems important to you. After all, the Savior is not some heartless, cruel dictator that we have to overthrow because He has made our lives so miserable. Quite to the contrary, and unlike most human leaders, Jesus gets out in front, leading by example, not driving you from behind. He leads by grace. He even works right inside here, motivating us to voluntarily follow Him because we know how much He loved us. How can we say no to a king like that when He truly is leader of who you are and what you do? You can be sure that you're on the right path, and you can also expect many, many blessings. For the time being, your King leads you and blesses you through His Word. It's the same Word that will show us the real answers to big questions, deep issues of life, which some people are searching for even as we speak. For example, Jesus only can show you that entire path. How you got here, where you came from originally, why you are here in this life, and the final destination where He is taking you. Now along that path, as we let Him down, rebel with sin, Jesus shows you the only place to drop that burden of guilt and walk away with a clean conscience, ready to start over following Him. As you deal with stress and problems of life, you have the Savior giving you promises of strength, deliverance, mercy, and with that final trial of death, you have the Savior's answer of what He will do on the last day, His promise of resurrection and heaven as your future. Now, I'd like to think that what I just said about these gospel truths in the Word are indeed the reason why we keep doing this. Chapel every day, church on the weekend. We gather in His name around His Word because that's how He blesses us. And to think that He will give that blessing not in isolation, but together as He extends His Lordship into your hearts and lives. Would we give that kind of devotion, that level of honor, worship, and prayer, no less, to a dead person, like one of our former famous presidents? I don't think so. We worship Jesus. We hang on His every word because He lives. We accept His Lordship in all the different aspects of our lives because He lives. Yes, He gets to be the boss of you. He gets to be the boss of me. That's a good thing. Let's embrace it. Love it. Live it. Every day. In Jesus' name, amen. We close our worship of our risen Savior singing the first and last stanzas 1 and 9 of hymn 292.
Let me read the bank committee, please.